Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I would like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We are in the Billy Meier case, specifically in Contact Report 10. Edward Albert Meier, he's a one-armed farmer from Switzerland. He lives in a little town called Hinterschmidruti, and he's an incredibly prolific author. He's written 40 books and over 600 contact notes. The contact notes are little booklets about his extraterrestrial contacts, and these booklets range from 100 pages to several hundred pages. This afternoon, we're going to talk about Contact Report 10, which occurred on Wednesday, March 26, 1975 at 3:20 p.m. The contact person that Billy met with here is a woman named Semyase. She's a Pleiaren woman. At the time of the contact, she was 344 years old. She stood about 5.5 feet tall. Attractive woman with blue eyes, light blonde hair. She would land her ship there in Hinterschmidruti, step out of the ship, and walk over to Billy and sit down under a tree. And she would start to tell him, particularly in Contact Report 10, the most beautiful and profound things. And Contact Report 10 is the basis for what the Meier Information calls the teaching of the spirit, the teaching of the truth, and the teaching of life. One of the first things that Semyase told Billy in this contact was that the human bears a spirit that does not die nor sleep during our deepest sleep. It records all of our thoughts and impulsations. It informs the human whether his thoughts are correct or false if he has learned to pay attention. The spirit is a creation of the universal consciousness, and human spirits are created in order to help this universal consciousness evolve to a higher level. The human spirit is often referred to as the spirit form, and the German word for the spirit form is the Geist form. It's indestructible, it's eternally living, loving, always developing, and it resides in the human brain, in the midbrain, in an area called the superior colliculus. Now, the spirit within the human is the bearer of the creative realm, and every human has his own spirit. Your spirit form has lived many lives, most likely. And what happens is at 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the universal consciousness takes your human spirit and places it into the body of the child in the superior colliculus and something else called the consciousness block comes into our mind. The consciousness block contains the personality, the you. It resides mainly in the frontal cerebral cortex. What is the contact talking about here, that the human spirit is the bearer of the creative realm? To create or to be creative means to evolve from one's own thoughts or imagination. For example, a work of art or an invention is a creative action. Now, the human spirit is the bearer of the creative realm. What is a realm? A realm is a community or territory over which a sovereign rules. You rule over your human spirit. This realm is a bearer of things. The human spirit is kind of a repository or a receptacle. And what happens is, as you grow up, as the child grows up again, the material consciousness in the child starts to advance again. As that material consciousness in the child advances in learning and understanding and love and wisdom, it gets something called impulses from the storage banks. See, there are planetary storage banks, there are universal storage banks, which contains all kinds of information. Information about your previous lives, even. And these impulses come down as signals. So as a child grows back up, they get impulses from the universal storage banks, as well as inspiration. Because deep within our subconscious are stored the wisdom of our predecessor personalities. So in that way, even though each time we reincarnate, we get a new material consciousness and we're a new personality, the spirit form and the superior calculus is the same. So that child has to mature, just like in the previous life, but it gets these aids, this inspiration and this impulsation that occurs. Now, Semyase down in line 6 said something very interesting. She said, "A human's yearning lies in the joy that remains for the imperishable life, the permanent peace, the spiritual and consciousness-related wealth that never fades and lasts forever." A yearning is an intense longing for something. Yearning can be called a deep longing, especially often it's accompanied by a tenderness or a sadness. Some synonyms for yearning include a hunger, a desire, a longing, a passion. And the German word sehnen can mean to long, to crave, to pine after, depending on how it's used. So this verse perhaps is telling us that we long for the spiritual existence. So all human beings somewhere in our subconscious are aware of the spiritual existence. And the spiritual existence is a place of peace, of freedom from disturbance, of quiet and tranquility. And after all these reincarnations, we actually merge back with creation. And in that final state of union with creation, we experience no disturbances. What a wonderful thought that is. Billy had insight into this wonderful peace of eternity when he took the trip on the Great Spacer, on the Great Mothership with Semyase in Contact 31. And Billy described this deep tranquility and this unbelievable peacefulness. He experienced it when the ship made hyperleaps or jumps from star to star, and they intentionally, just for Billy's experience, kept this great spacership in hyperspace for 7 minutes. And this is how, first of all, Billy in line 69 in Contact 31 described just the physical universe. And he said this, he said, "But now I look at everything in peace and with clear eyes, and I cannot describe the infinite vastness and size and the splendor and beauty of the universe that stretches out before me. The words fail me." And then in line 114, he describes this feeling of tranquility when the mothership jumps into hyperspace. He says, "This deep tranquility and this unbelievable peacefulness flowing through me is eternity itself. The absolute timelessness, which obviously is no longer subject to outside influences, such as the restlessness, the strife, and the worries that trouble the consciousness. I realized suddenly that during these few seconds, I was in the eternity itself, experiencing myself as eternity, where I only exist as fine matter, and I am completely free of all that can influence my material life. I actually traveled to eternity for a few seconds. In the next and the longest hyperleap, Billy described the feeling that he experienced in another way. Line 272, he says, "This light, this radiant light, such profound love, calm, and peace it has. Oh, now I understand. I can't see or hear, but I am finding. I feel, I live, I am finding. How beautiful is this peace?" Now, the word, the German word empfinden or empfinde, is described in the Goblet of Truth in chapter 25, line 137, as the fine spiritual perceiving of the love of creation. So let me read to you the empfinden. "Therefore, you humankind of earth, you must strive and evolve as individuals in yourselves, from out of your own consciousness, as well as out of the thoughts and feelings, in order to come to the truth and to the fine spiritual perceiving of the love of creation, so there can be true love and harmony, as well as freedom and peace in you, in order to then also carry forth these high values, so that you humankind of earth, may profit from them, and so that everything may turn to the best well-being amongst you." So, what happens in the reincarnation process? Here on Earth, we may live 75 years, we may live 100 years in the material life. Then our body physically dies, in the spirit form, the Geist form, comes out of the superior colliculus, out of your brain, as well as the consciousness block, which contains your personality, your ego, your thoughts, and your feelings. And these two aspects of you, your human spirit and your experiences and your ego and your thoughts and feelings of the previous life, go into the spiritual realm. Your human spirit, your Geist form, processes the information from your last life and takes that information and turns that into what can be called evolutive values, which are things like love and truth and wisdom. And that information is stored in your human spirit. So during the spiritual time, which is the life between physical lives, your human spirit is processing all that information, all those experiences from the prior lifetime. And then again, the process repeats where the universal consciousness will take your human spirit then, plop it back into the body of a child, into the brain, into the midbrain, into the superior colliculus, 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, a brand new consciousness block comes down, a new personality, a new ego, is placed into the cerebral cortex of the baby, 21 days old, and the whole process of consciousness evolution from the previous life takes place again. Now, this process goes on in the purely physical life for about 18, 20 million years. And we go through these seven evolutionary steps in the physical life. And the seven stages of evolution are the first one's called primitive. The second one is called rational life. Most people here on the earth are in stage 2, rational life. In stage 3, it's called intelligent life. A few people are on the earth are moving into intelligent life. St- Stage four, the Playaren call real life. Now, real life is actually bizarre from our perspective in some ways. One of the things that happens in real life is human civilizations, and there are currently, according to Meyer material, 2,600,000 some human civilizations just in our galaxy. But these human civilizations master certain technologies that allow them to jump almost instantly from star system to star system. They turn the ship and everything within the ship into kind of fine matter, and they move in hyperspace, and they make these hyperleaps, which Billy was explaining, these hyperleaps he was experiencing in the mothership, and then they rematerialize into another star system with almost no time passing. When Billy was on the mothership and they would make a hyperleap, he would look up at the ceiling of the mothership. When he was in the bridge, the ceiling of the mothership is transparent, and they can see all these beautiful stars in this incredible glory on the roof of the mothership. And they would, just when they went into hyperspace, the stars would blur, and he would look around, and the people around him would kind of turn milky white and blur as well. And then they would rematerialize, and they might be 1,000 light years away, but really no time passes. So that's what one of the things that happens in what they call real life. The other thing that I find extremely interesting in stage four of human evolution is we become pretty amazing genetic engineers. And genetic engineering is kind of a scary thing for us here on the Earth, because we don't want to create monsters and we don't want to make huge mistakes creating these genetically modified organisms, which are very unhealthy. But eventually, genetic engineering is a very good thing. And genetic engineering will allow us to make very big advances. And we'll be able to look into the womb when a child is developing and look at the genetics of the child and find out if there's any problems in those genetics. And if there is, we'll be able to go in and tweak the genes. Well, one of the things that we'll be able to do in genetic engineering in the future is we'll be able to create sentient life. And this will be very hard for our religions to deal with. But we'll be able to create sentient life. For example, Semyase's ship had a central computer in it, which was biological. It was a biological intelligence. It knew it was alive. She could communicate with it telepathically. So essentially, her ship then was a kind of a life form with a metallic hull. It was a different kind of life form. But that's one of the things that happens in stage four of our evolution. Now, stage five, human beings will become what the Meyer material refers to as the JHWH, or the King of Wisdom. This is a person that's very, very highly advanced in an area of study or in the spiritual teachings. In ancient times on the Earth, we confuse when these extraterrestrials at this fifth stage of evolution were on the Earth, we confuse them with the creator of the universe. And this has caused much of the confusion in our religions. But this fifth stage is an incredible stage of advancement. Right after the fifth stage, we start to lose the need for a physical body. And we enter into the sixth stage where we're half physical, half spiritual. Now, this stage lasts an incredibly long time. I think between something like 80 million years or something. And then in the seventh stage, we don't have a physical body at all. We are purely spiritual. And there are seven levels in this spiritual stage. And in this, in that level of the spiritual, we live like billions of years in the spiritual. So anyway, that was a quick overview. There are seven stages in the spiritual stage, beginning with Arahat Atharasada, and then moving into what they call the Patali level, which is the final stage. I'm going to play a clip from Michael Utterbrock, who is a member of FIGO in Canada. And he does the best presentation on the spirit form that I think I've ever heard. Here we go.
The spirit form. What is it? What is its purpose? Here is an overview. In order to evolve, the creation creates the human spirit form, and this spirit form, in turn, evolves independently through the human being's material consciousness. Prior to entering the human being for the first time, the spirit form is an absolutely neutral energy agglomeration in timeless existence and is totally unknowing. Once it enters into the human being, its goal is to collect wisdom, knowledge, love, etc., through countless reincarnations to eventually merge with the creation, whereby the creation has the possibility to further evolve. Just for clarity of terminology, here's a brief explanation of what the creation is, taken from the Decalogue by Billy Meyer. The creation is the being and the non-being of the life. It is the most immense mass of spiritual energy in the universe. It is spirit in purest form, and unmeasurable in its wisdom, in its knowledge, in its love, and in its harmony and truth. The creation is something spiritually dynamic, a pure spirit intelligence energy, ungraspable for human beings, prevailing over all, and at all times active, creative, standing in unstoppable evolution, all gathered into itself, wisdom and love. In order to evolve, the spirit form creates the overall consciousness block, which in turn creates the consciousness block, which harbors the consciousness, personality, and the ego to gather values in the material life. On day 21, after conception, both the spirit form and the consciousness block enter the body. That is when the heart begins to beat. From the superior colliculus, the spirit form spreads its spiritual energy throughout every fiber of the body of the human being in a fine filigree. When the spirit form enters within the human being, it remains within its own realm. It is of a pure creational nature and is not able to be humanly or materially influenced, for example, through sickness and disease. The ego, the I, represents the personality, respectively, the material consciousness. It independently makes perceptions, researches, and explores things and facts, consciously learns and processes results. Evolutive values, that which correspond to truth and reality, are transferred over in an impulse-based form from the thoughts and feelings to the spiritual consciousness. The spirit form then further processes and stores these within itself for all time. In this manner, the spirit form grows in its power and energy as it becomes wiser and more knowing. Neutral positive impulses are also transmitted to the material consciousness from the spiritual realm. The moment that the brain's activity ceases, is the moment when the spirit form and the consciousness block both go to their own unworldly spheres. The consciousness block goes to the realm of the overall consciousness block. The overall consciousness block dissolves the I or ego and then processes all that which the consciousness and its personality could not overcome or work out in a previous material life. This is processed into knowledge, love, and wisdom, and evolutive values are then released to the spirit form, whereby it can further improve itself. The consciousness and its personality are then dissolved, stored, and as well, their power and energy are changed into a completely neutral form by the overall consciousness block. Once this neutrality is achieved, the overall consciousness block creates and programs a new consciousness harboring a new personality and a new I or ego, and then the consciousness block is ready to incarnate into a new material body of a human being. Having a completely new personality guarantees love, freedom, knowledge, wisdom-based progress, because through the new personality, there are new ideas, views, opinions, perceptions, cognitions, etc. For this reason, a personality is never repeated and therefore can only incarnate, whereas the spirit form reincarnates because it remains the same throughout the life and death process, albeit its power and energy increases as it becomes wiser. Again, on day 21, the consciousness block and the spirit form enter the fetus, but the consciousness level of the human being is starting from where it left off in the previous material life. The overall consciousness block programs or inputs into the memory of the subconsciousness, which is a factor of the consciousness block, the essence of all evolutive values that were gathered throughout all previous incarnations. These evolutive values are comprised of consciousness forms, which are all at various levels of development. Examples of consciousness forms can be love, respect, patience, honesty, etc. The highest level of each of these consciousness forms is considered to be its essence. These essences, which are all inputted into the subconsciousness, are then representative of the overall level of consciousness evolution. In addition to the inspirations coming from the programmed memory in the subconsciousness, the material consciousness is influenced by the planetary storage banks. As already stated, the overall consciousness block stores the consciousness block once it has been processed. The storage banks of the overall consciousness block is where all of the essences are stored. However, there are also the planetary storage banks. These too are made up of fine energy. Thoughts, emotions, feelings, each word that was ever thought or spoken, habits, ideas, interests, abilities, everything that a person is, these are all deposited in the storage banks as impulses. There is a unique frequency of stored impulses generated by the thoughts and feelings. All that which is in the storage bank can be made one's own if the corresponding frequencies are produced. Therefore, other egos and consciousness forms can be brought to use if one is able to create the same frequencies. This means that abilities of former personalities can be brought to use in a conscious or unconscious form. This connection is also possible with other egos not connected to the same line of previous egos. The spirit form is of a pure, fine material, spiritual, creational form. It is absolutely neutral in power and energy. The spirit form exists from a creation-based learning consciousness or evolution consciousness and perceives only neutral positive impulses from which it builds knowledge, love, and wisdom and stores it until the highest relative perfection is reached. The spirit form is not able to think creatively or to create its own ideas. It plays a passive role. The spirit form consciousness in itself is not conscious and has no ego in the form of self-conscious being. It is only active in the form that it is the neutral recipient and processor of evolutive impulses, whereby it creates wisdom, love, knowledge, and stores it in itself. The spirit form has to evolve through the consciousness of the human being. The human consciousness is of a material and transitory nature. It is active in a conscious, creative, and evolutive manner, and therefore has a conscious consciousness evolution, unlike animals which have instinct evolution or plants that have an impulse-based evolution, etc. The process of the reincarnation of the spirit form and the incarnation of consciousness blocks continues for 40 to 60 million years, 18 million years of which are spent in the physical realm. This is then followed by 56 million years in the half-physical and half-spiritual realm, followed by nearly 3 billion years in the pure spirit levels, before entering and becoming one with the creation itself, whereby the creation further evolves. The spirit form is not the soul. The soul is an incorrect term for the psyche. A human being cannot take their personality with them into subsequent incarnations, as has been falsely taught by the Buddhist or Hindu religions. A human being's spirit form cannot enter into an animal or into a plant in another reincarnation, nor is the reverse possible. Upon the deceasing of the human body, life does not continue in nirvana, paradise, or heaven, nor in a hell or Hades. There is no possibility of a resurrection or sentencing on Judgment Day, nor any karma-burdened future life.
Okay, that's a really great clip by Michael Utterbrock from Figu, Canada. Figu, what is Figu? Figu is the group that helps Billy. There's a Semyase Silver Star Center in Switzerland, which is the world headquarters of the Figu. Figu has a really long acronym to explain it. It's really what they call it for short, the Free Community of Interests, and they have a center in Switzerland. There's also a Figu group in Canada, a Figu group in Australia, and potentially a Figu group forming in the United States. But my understanding is also there's a Figu Japan, Italy, Austria, the Czech Republic, France, Russia, and Spain. So the Meyer material is having some impact. It's very subtly being spread. Now again, Semyase said the human bears a spirit that does not die or sleep during the deepest sleep. It records all of our thoughts and impulsation, and informs the human whether his thoughts are correct or false if you've learned to pay attention. So somehow there's some little mechanism within our spirit that'll tell us when we're off base a bit. The spirit within the human is the bearer of the creative realm, and every human has his own spirit. So this spirit form is extremely creative if we allow it to be. And in that way, it's like the universal consciousness. You could almost think of the spirit form as a fragment of the universal consciousness. Line 5, Contact Report 10 says, "It is incomprehensible that the human speaks of a heaven and a kingdom of heaven within himself, rather than to merely say creation, truth, knowledge, wisdom, spirit, consciousness, and existence." Line 6 says, "A human's yearning lies in the joy that remains for the imperishable life, the permanent peace, the spiritual and consciousness-related wealth that never fades and lasts forever." Now, Semyase said, "The human spirit is the seat of the infinite." And she explained that those who are rich in spirit are an instrument through which the creation can reveal the creative realms. So our thoughts are incredibly powerful. And Billy has written a whole book about the incredible power of our thoughts. And Semyase went on to say, that's why the spirit is the wonder of all wonders. She explained it as a wonder is something astonishing, something surprising. And when I was talking about the King of Wisdom earlier, the Ishwish, the Maya material says we all evolve to the level of the Ishwish, which is truly amazing to me, considering how backward our world is now. And it's interesting that in the book, The Might of Thoughts, it says that the book is dedicated to a people who are ill in their consciousness. And we, unfortunately, here on the earth, are ill in our consciousness. And that's why so many things are wrong here in what's called the new millennium or the third millennium. And if you remember back when I talked about Billy's first contact, Sfath, when Billy was a young boy, when he was 5 years old, Sfath would tell him that in 1945, when the United States dropped the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that something called the third millennium had begun. And that in the third millennium, our leaders would become megalomaniacal. They would exaggerate their own importance. They would take away our rights of self-determination, and the people would become indolent, obtuse, and indifferent. And this slowly spreading maliciousness and confusion would spread all over the earth, because the people of the earth are getting farther and farther away from what the Maya material refers to as the creative natural laws. And we're completely ignorant, for the most part, of the creative natural laws. One of the creative natural laws is the reincarnation of the human spirit form. Because we don't know about that, we have extremely short-term planning. So we live a life of excess. We have too many children. We live for the moment. We don't suppress our degenerate thoughts. And the world is in chaos because of this. We no longer have a real sense of responsibility. So we go in and wipe down a whole forest and never consider the consequences. We don't have respect for life the way we should. And we have these rise of fanatical religions. And in these fanatical religions, we have a kind of mental illness. The Maya material says that the universal consciousness is not really, doesn't correspond with our notion of God. But in our fanatical religions, we have a very narrow notion of what the Creator is. And somehow this leads to an incredible fanaticism that we see, for example, in the Wahhabist Muslim religion. We see this, you know, ISIS group. And they perform these horrible acts of violence. And the Meyer Information refers to that as the God delusion insanity. And it's much like a schizophrenia or almost an epileptic episode which occurs. So we have this great maliciousness and confusion which is spreading over the earth, which we can counter by learning, because the purpose of our lives is evolution. See, wisdom is a kind of knowledge that produces energy. And wisdom is insight. Wisdom is the ability to determine what is true. Now, unfortunately, the people of Earth are materialistic intellectual thinkers. And materialistic intellectual thinkers, I think of the skeptic as the most extreme example of a materialistic intellectual thinker. Rather than admitting that he doesn't know for sure if something is true or false, he will attack and attack and attack. Not in trying to search for the truth, but in order to protect a worldview. And that's what we have now, particularly in religions. That's why we have such violence. Because instead of being neutral, like the universal consciousness, instead of having spiritual poise, which is balance, the psyche of so many people on the earth is unbalanced. And this is manifesting in the difficulties that we have in many areas all over the earth. I wanted to move on into something else that Semyase said in line 11 of Contact Report 10. She said that the human may create wondrous worlds in a dream, just as creation consciously creates the worlds. To the human, this capability arises from his consciousness, which is obtainable in existence within himself, the same way that all wonders are available within himself. Now, to create means to cause something to come into being, something that may be unique, that would not naturally evolve or be made by ordinary processes. Wonder is an emotion. It's comparable to surprise that people feel when perceiving something that is very rare and unexpected, but not threatening. And I think this line is, these two, line 11 and 12, are talking about the creativity that can come from the human spirit. Remember, Billy talks about the incredible power of your thinking, and he tells us to clarify our thoughts. And remember, your consciousness is like a garden, so you need to go in there, and those good thoughts that deal with wisdom and love and peace, you need to clarify those, you need to repeat those. You need to say them in different ways. Say them out loud if you have to. Focus on those thoughts. Clarify your thoughts. And then your consciousness will be like a garden. A garden which is healthy. If you don't clarify your thoughts, then you get weeds that grow up in your gardens. And those are those degenerate thoughts, those negative thoughts that grow like a weed, that can completely consume your consciousness, and it can lead to mental illness. It can lead to all sorts of bad behaviors. And this is what's happening in the third millennium, is that the people of the earth don't know how to first of all, analyze their thoughts to look for these problems, and B, they haven't learned to control their thoughts, which is a continuing lifetime process, learning to control your thoughts. Now, this verse said that we are able to create wondrous worlds in a dream, and dreams are successions of images, ideas, emotions, sensations that occur involuntarily in our mind during stages of sleep. And it said that dreams occur mostly during the rapid eye movement stage, the REM stage, when brain activity is high, and it literally resembles being awake. And this rapid eye movement, REM sleep, is a stage of sleep characterized by rapid and random movement of the eyes. And the rapid eye movement sleep is classified into two categories, the tonic and the phasic. Now, I had a clip on dreams that I found very interesting. It's a Nova clip, and since Semyase talks about dreams, I thought it would be kind of interesting to take a look at dreams from the perspective of a scientific point of view.
Each night, as we close our eyes and slip away from the waking world, we may enter an even richer one, the elusive realm of dreams.
I was in a kitchen. I remember it had really bright colors and a lot of sunshine, and I saw a bug on the table. And I heard it say, hamburger, hamburger.
I was riding the subway, and I noticed that I could suddenly see into things. There was a young woman, and in her purse she had handcuffs.
There were two lanes, so it was a normal motorway, apart from the fact that all the cars had no people in them.
I'm holding a big glass of milk, and there's a head of lettuce in it.
I don't know anybody who isn't fascinated by dreams. I mean, they are outrageous events in our lives.
They can be bewildering, terrifying, inspiring. But do they mean anything? Are dreams the nonsensical byproduct of a sleeping brain, or a window into our unconscious mind, rich with revelations?
Why would Mother Nature highly activate your brain, paralyze your body, sexually activate you, and force you to watch these things we call dreams? Why? Why would Mother Nature do that?
After more than a century of searching, scientists may finally be nearing an answer. By literally watching dreams unfold and testing their impact on both our sleeping and waking lives.
Dreaming is a process. And not only is it useful, it might be essential for making sense of the world.
Up next on Nova, what are dreams?
Major funding for Nova is provided by the following.
I've been growing algae for 35 years. Most people try to get rid of algae, and we're trying to grow it.
The algae are very beautiful. They come in blue or red, golden, green. Algae could be converted into biofuels that we could someday run our cars on. And using algae to form biofuels, we're not competing with the food supply. And they absorb CO2, so they help solve the greenhouse problem as well. We're making a big commitment to finding out just how much algae can help to meet the fuel demands of the world.
To pursue the life you want, sometimes you need a financial advocate who knows where you want to go. A Merrill Lynch financial advisor, now with access to the resources of Bank of America, can help you diversify, rebalance, imagine, and believe. Merrill Lynch Wealth Management.
And by Pacific Life, the power to help you succeed, offering insurance, annuities, and investments. and David H. Koch. And
discovering new knowledge. HHMI.
And by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and viewers like you. Thank you.
I was walking down this really bizarre hallway, and every time I would open a door, there would just be this blinding light.
So I take off and fly, and I'm starting to accelerate faster, 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 and I realize I was an electron inside an RCA circuit moving around at the speed of light.
Dark outside, kind of raining, very, very scary, ominous, and all the water puddles, if you touch them, you catch on fire.
She was very overweight and actually was growing a real beard.
They're eerie, impossible, and often just plain weird. Yet some say they've changed the world.
Dreams have been responsible for 2 Nobel Prizes, the invention of a couple of major drugs, and innumerable novels, films, and works of visual art.
Usually they fly through the mind unremembered, yet they may be key to understanding the mind itself.
If you want to understand human nature, the human mind, what makes us tick, you need to look at dreams.
The scientist most associated with dreams is still Sigmund Freud, who saw them as brimming with symbols, mostly sexual. Such symbols took form as the sleeping brain tried to disguise forbidden urges, welling up from its unconscious. Though even Freud cautioned that this kind of thinking could be taken too far.
At some point, he said, you can be too literal. You can say every single thing is standing for something sexual. And, you know, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
Today, advances in brain science have inspired new theories about dreams, building on a discovery made years after Freud's death, when science finally got a look at the sleeping brain. The breakthrough came in 1953, when Nathaniel Kleitman and Eugene Azarinsky began recording people's brain waves as they slept through the night.
They put electrodes onto the head that could pick up the electrical activity of the brain underneath. And they had known when people are awake that signal looks very fast and not too interesting. It looks almost like noise. But that when people fall asleep, that you would sometimes have the brain activity start to go up and down in a slow pattern. And you could then tell whether someone was awake or asleep, or so they thought.
The researchers had assumed sleeping brains were resting brains. But every 90 minutes or so, as their subjects slumbered, something odd happened.
Their eyes were closed, their head had drooped. They didn't answer when you called them by name. They were clearly asleep, but the electrical activity of the brain said they were awake.
And it wasn't just their brain waves that seemed strange. They were sexually aroused. Their heart rates and breathing had become irregular. Their eyes darted about beneath shut lids. It was these eye movements that gave the state its name. Rapid eye movement, or REM sleep. But what was REM sleep for? The answer seemed to come from the sleepers themselves.
During REM sleep, what the researchers invariably found when they woke up a subject was the subject would report, hey, I'm dreaming, and I just had a vivid dream.
So was REM sleep dream sleep? The idea seemed more than plausible when you considered REM's most dramatic characteristic.
Another feature of REM sleep is that your muscle tone just goes absolutely down to zero. You become functionally paralyzed. If you're sitting up in a chair watching TV, you know, and the head nods and falls and you fall asleep, That's not REM sleep. If you fell into REM sleep, you would literally roll off the chair onto the floor because your body becomes absolutely relaxed, almost paralyzed in the sense that you can't make your muscles actually work. And it becomes absolutely calm and non-responsive.
Nature, it appeared, had devised a special state of paralysis to house our dreams, one in which they remained internal experiences. It was a conclusion that seemed impossible to deny when researchers learned to switch the paralysis off. This cat looks as if it's awake. In fact, it's deep in REM sleep. This dog appears to be running. It too is in REM sleep, and like the cat, dreaming. To see these dreams played out, scientists disabled the part of the brain that paralyzes muscles during REM sleep.
And what we see when you do this with cats in particular is that they can walk around during REM sleep and their behavior is not random. It's not chaotic. They're not just doing any old crazy thing. They appear to be doing the kinds of behaviors that cats like to do, like stalk a prey, you know, play with a mouse or something. So presumably that's what they dream about when they go into REM sleep. So that's what we think is happening.
But what about people? Could human dreams be watched as well? Performing surgical experiments on human subjects was, of course, unthinkable. But the discovery of a new brain disease also made it unnecessary.
Well, it was me telling him he's got to go to the doctors and sort this out because I'd have to jump out of bed quick.
Tom Kersley has a condition known as REM sleep disorder. It prevents the paralysis of REM sleep, so he acts out his dreams.
I can picture now being in this field, a river in the background, and I don't know, about a dozen cows grazing the grass, and they sort of start coming towards me and nudging me and pushing me out of the way.
He's shouting and raging about everywhere. The bedside cabinet went over the other night, and he didn't even know he'd knocked that over.
Dr. John.
Well, that's a very interesting clip. I hope we have time to get back to that. We're unfortunately running out of time. I think myself, I actually have the same issue sometimes in my deepest sleep. I can move. And I remember as a kid actually sleepwalking, which was actually a very scary experience because you can like run into a wall and then hitting the wall actually feels like it corresponds to something in your dream, so you have this weird state where you can't tell what's real and you can't tell what a dream is. And there's probably a lot for us to learn about dreams, and it's interesting that Semyase brought up the human being able to create wondrous worlds in a dream, just as the universal consciousness creates actual physical worlds. So there's very interesting stuff going on in the dream state there in our rapid eye movement. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show this evening. On Revolution Radio tonight, I have Dan Willis. He'll be speaking. I won't be there. I have another engagement. I wish you all have a good afternoon. It's been my pleasure bringing the show to you this afternoon. Have a good day.